are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you once again on this Thanksgiving edition of the program. Happy Turkey Day to everybody, and happy holidays. It's holiday season now. It's really kind of creeped up on me. But network-wide, we were going to take the day off, but I had this opportunity. So I wanted to talk with Jack of Jack's Movie Reviews, a super popular YouTube channel that reviews movies, obviously. And he's also a 49ers fan. We're going to have our top five sports movies of all time. Jack and I are each going to have our list, so I think that's going to be a fun conversation for this Thanksgiving episode. And then Trevor Sikkema coming up tomorrow. He writes for Pewter Report, which is a Buccaneers site. So we're going to talk Niners Bucks, but mostly what we're going to get into is the NFL draft, because he's also a contributor at the Draft Network, which is fantastic. And so we're going to have a lot of fun talking edge rushers, wide receivers, and all kinds of Niners Bucks stuff tomorrow with Trevor Sikkema on the program. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show. Find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And of course, go to LockedOn49ers.com for not only the podcast, where to subscribe, but a ton of other articles and content about the 49ers. All right, let's bring on today's guest. Here we are in a Thanksgiving edition of Locked On 49ers, and my guest is Jack. He is from Jack's Movie Reviews, which you might already be subscribed to, a super popular YouTube channel reviewing movies. And I thought it'd be fun to have a little holiday edition of the show. I was not going to do a show for Thanksgiving, but you know what? I'm going to do one anyways, and it's going to be Jack and I talking about our top five sports movies of all time, and then we're going to get into this, some 49ers stuff as well, and we'll see where this conversation takes us. But first, Jack, thanks for joining me here on the show.
Well, thanks for having me on, Brian. I'm really looking forward to talking movies, talking Niners, two of my favorite things to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Heck yeah. So before we get to the sports movies section of this, do you have one favorite holiday movie? Well, first of all, let's get this out of the way. This is a big topic of discussion for some people, and an argument I've had is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
You know, I'm going to go that it is. I think that it's too fun not to be a Christmas movie. It's got the perfect atmosphere and definitely unconventional in a lot of ways, but a perfect movie to watch on Christmas, which gets the classification in my book.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's set at Christmas time. If you watch it at Christmas at all, and I'm sure the more people talk about it as a Christmas movie or whether it is or not, it'll get played more and more, and then it just will become one anyways.
Exactly. It's a fun movie to watch around the holidays. Obviously, you're going to want to be with older people than an 8-year-old or something like that, although that could be a fun age.
Yeah,
too.
That's one of the things. Christmas movies are usually very mild and they're for children. And this one is not.
At the same time, get your older family together, watch Die Hard, and have a great time. It's all that you can ask for.
You put the kids to bed, then you put on Die Hard with the adults.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
When you start spiking the eggnog.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a favorite holiday movie?
And I'm going to go with Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yes.
I guess it's more of a Thanksgiving movie I hear it classified as, so perfect timing for that. But just so much fun. I love that era of comedies. It's a lot of fun to watch. I love everything John Candy's done. And that is, as far as I'm concerned, the high point of his career. And Steve Martin's great in it. Just a whole lot of fun. And looking forward to watching that, hopefully, tomorrow or Friday.
Yeah, that's a great one. That's a good call. I didn't think about that one at all. And John Candy, there's a 49ers tie-in for you right there with Joe Montana before the drive, talking about pointing out John Candy in the crowd. That's a good one. My favorite holiday movie is actually Scrooged with Bill Murray.
Okay, definitely.
I don't think people give that one enough credit. I love that one.
It's good. It's fun to watch. It's been a few years since I watched it, but I have nothing but good things to say about it.
A little more adult theme, too. That's another one that's not necessarily a kid's movie.
Exactly. And it can be fun to watch those holiday movies that take your mind off of the constant holiday music that you hear on the radio and whatnot. Yeah. Just appreciate the good times as more of an adult setting.
Yeah, for sure. And that's one of the pet peeves with holiday movies is that you just get beat over the head with them and you don't care about them anymore. So they're just kind of on and in the background.
Yeah, one thing that I value in pretty much every movie I watch is being a little bit different. How are you standing out from the crowd? And holiday movies that can go against the grain in some ways, but still have that same basic fundamentals that we all love is great to watch.
Absolutely. And I wrestled with that with some of my sports picks. And if I should go like the obvious ones that are obviously great movies, because whittling it down to five, and there's some ones that are a little bit off to the side that maybe are a little, you know, ones that people wouldn't necessarily think of first when you think of great sports movies. So I think that's going to be a fun conversation. But real quick, before we get into that, I couldn't think of a single one. Are there any movies with 49ers tie-ins?
I've done my little bit of Googling, and I don't think so. I think definitely in terms of references to like Joe Montana and whatnot, you definitely get a fair few of those. It's just the pop culture icon that he is. But in terms of 49ers base movies, I don't think that there have been many that I can think of. But it is always nice to hear that Joe Montana reference or whatnot and get that hometown pride or whatever, but
yeah,
not a whole lot.
Yeah, exactly. There's the San Francisco Giants theme that was a candlestick thing. That was the fan, which I wanted to like, but it was kind of terrible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's watched that a little while ago. Certainly not the best representation of all of us. Although if you look at documentaries, like sports documentaries are kind of hard to count as a sports movie, but you definitely get a fair few great ones in that regard.
Yeah, I struggled with that too. Actually, I think your list is going to be better than mine. So I'm going to start with my top five sports list. Is that cool?
Okay, perfect. Let's start.
So for me, it was really hard with, like I mentioned before, the ones that everyone would have on their list. And I was like, I don't want to just have it all of those movies. So, but I did have to include some. So for me, number five is Rocky.
And can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, come on. And the thing I love about Rocky versus some of these other like big budget sports movies that are really great is that there was like an indie vibe to it, a darkness to it. Mm-hmm. And I always love that about Rocky.
Now, and that kind of goes along with a lot of the ideas put forward in the movie that like it's small up into like he's on his own. The movie's got its own. He has whatever success he has. And then the movie has a ton of success. It won Best Picture in 1976.
So yeah.
Always awesome to see how that kind of ties in with the story of the movie being the story of the movie.
So for me, number four is Caddyshack. And so those two movies are probably on a lot of people's lists. And Caddyshack, I think Definitely. If you watch it now and for a younger person, and it was, you know, before my time too, but the jokes, like this is what happens with old comedians and old jokes is that they get played out. And so it might not seem like groundbreaking or super funny to a younger person that's, you know, in their teens or early 20s right now. But for me growing up, it was like, oh, Caddyshack, this is like the ultimate in humor.
Mm-hmm. No, I love Caddyshack, and I'm on the younger side and still appreciate – I think Rodney Dangerfield is hilarious.
Oh, just yeah.
Everything he does is perfect.
Amazing. By the way, speaking of Rodney Dangerfield, my wife, when I was going through some of these, I was like bouncing some off of her. I was like, is there like a movie I'm totally forgetting here? And for her, Ladybugs. That's her all-time favorite sports movie, Ladybugs, starring Rodney Dangerfield.
Which one is that?
It's a 90s movie. It's starring Rodney Dangerfield. It's about soccer. And the other actor, the main actor is the late, actually, I forget the kid's name, but I think he passed away. And he's he dresses up as a girl to play on the girls' soccer. No. There's a girl that dresses up as a boy to play on the boys' soccer team or something like, I don't know. I don't remember. She loves it. I think it's awful, but definitely another Rodney Dangerfield sports movie.
He's got the hat with the coach on it. That looks fun. Yeah, he's one of those people who probably like wouldn't have a whole lot of success today. Just a few people would be upset with him more often than not. But he's hilarious, and I love everything that he's done.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I'm looking at that right now. Let's see. Who is the star in this movie? Jonathan Brandis. Is that his name? Yeah, and he passed away. He died in 2003. At the age of 27. Oh, he was in the Neverending Story too. Neverending Story, the original, is one of my favorites. I loved Neverending Story growing up.
Yeah, watched that a lot when I was younger.
Hell yeah. Okay, let's get back to my list here. Where was I? Number three, Eight Men Out.
Okay.
I don't know what it is about Eight Men Out. I think it's maybe just the time I saw it. I think the next three movies are kind of all late 80s, early 90s movies that really, that was just when I was, everything I saw was mind blowing. You know, it was an impressionable time in my life, but Eight Men Out is the one I always liked. And number two on my list is A League of Their Own.
Mm-hmm. Can't go wrong.
Which is just great, well acted, well written all the way through. Just a fantastic movie. But number one by far, and this movie will never get knocked off the top of the heap for me, is Major League.
Okay. I love it. Yeah.
Like so filthy too. I remember watching this for the first time and my parents were like, I don't think we can let you finish watching this.
They've been exchanging looks back and forth since the beginning.
Yeah. And they're like, wait a second. But it's amazing. And every time I see it, I stop and watch it and it's hilarious. And some cheap humor, but I love Major League. That's my all-time favorite sports movie.
Yeah. If I'm going for like dumb humor, Major League is definitely one of my favorite things to turn on and appreciate. much about it.
Exactly. And surprisingly, Charlie Sheen in two of my top five movies, two of my top three movies.
He's had quite the career and is going to show up in a lot of places that you wouldn't expect him to. And two of the top three sports movies, I guess, is one of those places.
Absolutely. All right. Let's get to your list. And then actually, let's take a quick break here and then we'll get into your list and then talk a little bit more about some maybe some honorable mentions and some movies that may be a little overrated or some that just missed the cut. All right, I'm here with Jack from Jack Reviews Movies. You can find him on Twitter at Jack Movie Reviews, and his YouTube, Jack's Movie Reviews, is a huge channel. Tons of people are subscribed to that channel, so go check him out over there at Jack's Movie Reviews. So let's get on. I just had my top five list. Jack, let's get to your top five list.
Absolutely. So I'm going to begin with an honorable mention, not because I consider bowling to not be a real sport or anything, but because I don't quite consider this to be a bowling movie, but we're going to go with The Big Lebowski. Mm-hmm. Everything about it is hilarious. Extremely well written, and any excuse I get to talk about The Big Lebowski, I'll gladly take you up on that one.
See, I got mad when I saw this on your list, even as an honorable mention, because I was like, I didn't even think of that. And like, if you do consider it a sports movie, it would instantly be in the top two or three for me, because it's such an amazing movie.
If there was a bit more bowling in it, it would definitely be right at the top. I love the neo-noir era. I love all that there is about the movie, and definitely love it. It's one of those movies that I watch two, three times a year and love it more every time. All right, so I'm kicking off the real list because I'd love to include it, but don't think I can. I'm going to begin with The Hustler. It's a pool movie, which, again, it's kind of an unconventional sport, but it plays out extremely well. Everything about it's well acted. It's a whole lot of fun to watch. A lot more serious, a lot more dramatic than you'd expect a pool movie to be. But if you haven't seen The Hustler, definitely go give it a watch.
But that's a Paul. See, I haven't seen there's some of the older movies that I'm like kicking myself. It's like, I haven't seen some of these movies. That's Paul Newman, right?
Yep.
And Jackie Gleason. And what's crazy is Paul Newman's been in the only other movie about pool that I can think of.
Which one's that?
Was it The Color of Money? Was he in that one?
That was Paul Newman, right? There we go. So I was seeing how that's actually a kind of indirect sequel directed by Martin Scorsese, starring Tom Cruise.
Okay.
So kind of.
Oh, right. Okay. So The Hustler is him younger, and then this is younger, him older, and then his protege. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. So super interesting tie-in, and a lot of people are familiar with the two movies, but they don't immediately see the connection, which I find to be fascinating.
I didn't even realize that. That's crazy. Okay. Number four.
Number four, we're going to go with Hoop Dreams. It's a documentary about two young guys coming up and their struggles with basketball and the success that they have and a lot of the failure that they have and ultimately their passion for the sport and how much they put into basketball. It's a documentary, so if that kind of doesn't fit your criteria, I don't care. It's an excellent movie. It's going to make you cry. It's very emotional and extremely well done and definitely well worth the watch.
Now, Hoop Dreams is really good, and I never saw it originally, but I saw it recently. I think it was re-released with like a check. They checked back in with everybody involved in the movie, if I'm not mistaken. And I saw it recently for the first time. It is great. It's really good. I was struggling with whether or not to put some documentaries in there as well. There was the Doc Ellis one recently that was really good. I was thinking about putting all 17 hours of Ken Burns documentary baseball in my list.
Yeah. Yeah. Be it Ken Burns stuff or ESPN's 30 for 30s.
Oh yeah.
They just tell a great story and you learn a lot. And I love watching all that. It's fascinating. Some of all the stuff that went on 100 years ago in sports. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that in a minute.
But absolutely. Sorry to interrupt you. Dogtown and Z-Boys, the skateboarding documentary is another good one that I saw recently.
Yeah. A lot of my documentary watching is the first 30 minutes of a doc. I'll put on a documentary while I'm trying to fall asleep. So learn a lot about the beginning of a story, but don't always finish it. And I think that's one in that category.
You know how great it is if you finish it, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
All right. Number three.
Number three, we're going to go with Raging Bull. It's a boxing movie. Going back to Martin Scorsese, one of the best performances ever by Robert De Niro. It's a fascinating character study about the life of one of the most interesting characters in Jake LaMotta that you'll ever see, and definitely well worth the watch. It's not just a great sports movie, but one of the best movies of all time.
That's a good call. That was one I was struggling whether or not to put it in my list. I'm glad it made it into your list for sure.
It's one of those things where boxing movies, I feel like a lot of the best sports movies are boxing movies, just that internal struggle, being able to have a physical manifestation of that struggle. And if I'm going with one boxing movie, definitely going to be going with that one.
Yeah, it's hard to football movies are probably the least represented. A lot of great baseball movies, basketball, boxing, but football just doesn't translate as well for some reason.
Which it's unfortunate because, I mean, going to like the 30 for 30, like as an example, some of the best stories ever are football stories. And yet putting it in a 90-minute, two-hour movie doesn't necessarily work the best, which is a bit unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. All right, it's on to number two.
All right, number two is going to be a bit of a unique one. It's The Pride of the Yankees. It's a 1942 black and white. It's not a documentary. It's a movie, but it's the story of Lou Gehrig, and it's by all means a glamorization, not a very like accurate portrayal of his life. But what's so fascinating about it is that a lot of the Yankees who we played with are playing themselves. So you've got Babe Ruth in there, and it's a really fascinating story about his life and the development of ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease. It's a great story and one that a lot of people are probably going to be opposed to because the black and white thing, but it's going to be emotional. It's extremely well done and definitely a great movie to watch if you have 2 hours and 8 minutes carved out of your day.
An interesting side note with black and white movies. Every time I see a black and white movie, I think of my father, who is completely colorblind. So he sees everything. That's what he always explained it to me. He's like, everything I see all the time is like a black and white movie. And I would be like, oh, we got to watch this old movie. It's black and white. When I was a kid, and be like, that's how I see everything. So now I think of that every time I see a black and white movie or think about that. I think about my dad. So that's great. and baseball movies like Field of Dreams, like such a heart wrencher, like the dad connection, right? Having a catch with your dad, like those kind of things, just like it was almost too easy. But I could see if someone put Field of Dreams or a movie like Rudy in their top five, because it's like, it just tugs at the strings almost. It tugs at them almost too hard. It's almost too easy.
Yeah. If we're talking about dads and Rudy, my dad, I think, met Rudy at a business seminar, like a year ago or something. And he was telling me about that the other day and just all tied in together. So going off on a bit of a tangent there, but
no, it's all good. I was actually really surprised by number one on your list.
All right. So before we get to number one, I will say San Francisco Giants fan for baseball. Okay. I don't hate the A's, but I do. I root for them when we're not playing them and want to beat them more than any other team when we are playing them. So I'll just throw that out there. Number one on my list is going to be Moneyball. I think it's one of the most interesting stories out there about changing the game, reinventing baseball. It's written by Aaron Sorkin, who's one of my favorite screenwriters of all time. Everyone in the movie does a great job, and it's a great story and definitely well worth the watch if you haven't seen it, and well worth revisiting if it's been a few years since you last saw it.
So Aaron Sorkin is a weird one. I have a love-hate thing with him because some of the stuff he writes is like, I feel like he's showing off or flexing in a way. It's like overwritten, where you're like, you watch the show or movie and you're thinking about writing because there's so much dialogue and the way people enter a room and start talking and leave the room is like,
it's walk and talks.
Yeah. It's too much. But then like Moneyball's great.
Yeah.
So he obviously is a great writer for a reason, but sometimes it's almost like about him rather than the actors in the movie.
No, definitely. He definitely makes his presence known, which is unique for a writer. At the same time, and I feel like the movies where he is best are the ones where he's tuned down a little bit, where he has full creative control and just is going all out. The walk and talks, all of his like trademark moves. There are some videos that show off like 8 minutes of his go-to lines that exist in 15 different projects that he's worked on. But he is definitely one of my favorite writers to watch, if that makes any sense. But he does something great, and I feel like his story structure and his character development is definitely the strongest, and Moneyball is either his best movie or his second best movie behind The Social Network, and definitely.
I like that call for Moneyball being number one, and I like Moneyball a lot, and I have a couple questions actually for you. So you're the movie guru, so I'm going to bounce this off of you. Is Karate Kid a sports movie?
I definitely think it would fall into the category. I've never been too big on it. I think I was a bit too old when I was introduced to it, and then just didn't really fall in love with it. It's a good story, but at the same time, I feel like you kind of just get where it's going and it doesn't surprise you.
Right.
Going back to what I said earlier.
It's kind of an oversimplified story in a way.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's the new thing that they're doing called Cobra Kai, which is on.
That looked interesting.
It's on YouTube, right? YouTube TV. I saw they. So you have to subscribe. I don't subscribe to YouTube TV, but they gave you a free episode, and I watched the first one, and I almost instantly subscribed to it because I was like, "Oh, this is actually pretty good. I want to see the rest of this."
Yeah, it's taking an interesting story on the conventional, interesting take on the conventional story, which, like I said, always appreciate. So if I get some free time, I may be checking that out.
You know, there's one movie where I wanted to include it, and it's not a popular sports movie at all. Did you ever see the movie Rebound, the story of Earl the Goat Manigault?
I don't think I did.
It's, let's see, 1996, starring Don Cheadle. The first thing I can remember Don Cheadle ever starring in. And it's about a basketball player growing up. You know, it's a life. It's not a documentary. I think there is a documentary about the goat Manigault. But, you know, he grew up being the best basketball player in the city. You know, was going to get a D1 scholarship, then got into drugs. And it's like the classic story. But that was a pretty good movie, actually. You know, another one. Do you know the movie? This is a quintessential 80s style movie. The movie Rad.
Oh, I don't think I do.
Oh, this is great. It's a BMX movie. And it's totally worth it just for the one scene in the middle of this movie where they're like a BMX crew, and they go to like this prom, a dance, and they dance on the dance floor at prom on their BMX bikes to the movie or to the song "Send Me an Angel" by Real Life. It's such an amazing scene. You got to check it out.
Because that's how everyone's prom worked out. BMX bikes out there.
It's so weird and corny, but in such an awesome way. I love that movie. When I think 80s, I think of the movie Rad.
I'm looking at the poster right now, and if that doesn't scream every 80s cliche out there, I don't know what does.
Do you remember the movie? We're talking sports movies here, and I was trying to think of every one I can think of. It wasn't a great movie by any means. I can't even remember the name, and that's what I want to ask you. It was in the 90s. It was about a hockey player, and he meets a girl, and they become an ice skating team or something like that.
Huh.
Does that sound familiar?
I don't think it does.
Okay.
Sounds interesting, though. But.
It's not interesting. Oh, how about this? Most overrated. We haven't mentioned it yet. Most overrated sports movie of all time, Bull Durham.
I can go along with that. Don't remember a whole lot of Bull Durham. And I think that speaks to it being overrated. It's one of those that's going to show up. I did some Googling, like, what are other people saying the best sports movies, to make sure I'm not leaving out whatever movie. And that definitely showed up, and I just had to shake my head in disagreement.
I'm on board. Yeah, that's it. No way. Bull Durham does not. It's not terrible, but it's like people freak out about Bull Durham is the best. No, not into it.
No, it's Kevin Costner's done his fair share of sports movies, and a lot of them are just not that good. like he did Draft Day a few years ago.
Oh, that was bad too. That was awful.
That was just bad. Yeah.
And that's hard for me because I followed the draft too closely, and it was just ridiculous. It's like, that's not even, come on. All right. Let's speaking of draft, let's talk Niners here.
One thing that I've been seeing a lot recently online, because it's where I'm reading most about the 49ers, that I just don't like at all, is this idea of Kyle Shanahan on the hot seat. And I know that you've said a few times that you completely disagree with it. And it's one of those things that you read it and you think, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I think last year he proved that he was capable of winning if he has a good team in front of him. And the only challenge is going to be getting that good team in front of him.
Right. And it's like, first of all, it's not going to happen. So you have to get that out of your head, because they got the 6-year contracts, and that doesn't mean they're going to for sure go 6 years. If this team wins 2 games every year, they're not going to make it to year 6, but that means they're not going to get fired in the middle of year 2. So there's, exactly. I think just with fandom, you get worked up and you get so excited. And I think there was a lot of expectations coming into this year. And if you're a 49ers fan and you thought they were going to be a playoff team, and instead they're a 2-8 team, you want your piece of flesh, right? You want somebody fired. You want someone to pay for that. So I get that reaction, but it's a total overreaction. And just flat out, he's not going anywhere. So don't even get all worked up about that, because he's going nowhere. The only thing that could potentially happen is maybe some position coaches, or maybe Robert Saleh could be the biggest domino, but I'd be surprised even if that happened. And if it did happen, that would be end of the year, not even during the year.
No, definitely. It's one of those things where I think we all just kind of want to point to something saying, we went 5-0 in December last year, let's get back to that. And there's a whole lot of different factors that are leading to not that happening.
Right, exactly. So I know you wanted to mention the John Lynch interview he did with Matt Maiocco on the 49ers Insider podcast. And he talked about being a few players away, and I kind of agree and disagree with that. What did you take away from that interview?
You know, I think I'm more on the disagree side, because even if we do get whatever, Jimmy back, we get McKinnon back, I still think we're pretty far away from being where we need to be. You've mentioned a few times that right now we're on the bad side of losing by 3 points, and maybe a few more players will get to the good side of winning by 3 points. But ideally, we're winning by a lot more than 3 points. We're getting those blowout victories. We're being the best team that we can be, not one that's squeaking by with victories every week.
No, that's a good point. You can't get by if you're just barely squeaking by wins every week. You have to squeak by in the tough wins and tough games and tough matchups, and then blow out the bad teams and make it not even close, make it a laugher. So I agree with what you're saying there. But what I will say is, you get Jimmy Garoppolo back. I think that would make a big difference, and maybe you squeak by some. And then you see what Khalil Mack has done for the Chicago Bears defense. And you don't even need a Khalil Mack level player, but I can't underestimate how important pass rush is for the 49ers right now. And look, if you listen to this podcast for a while, I've talked about the pass rush and how it wasn't good enough all offseason, and I was blown away they didn't add any pass rushers in the 2017 draft. I was blown away they didn't add any pass rushers in the 2018 draft, because you can't have a functional defense in this current NFL that's even going even further toward the passing spectrum, like we saw on Monday Night Football, where the first time ever in NFL history, 99-year NFL history, that both teams scored 50 points. How do you compete with that? Not by covering guys. You get to the quarterback, hit the quarterback, create turnovers, which is what happened in this game. So pass rush is so important, so important. Everybody else on defense would be better if the 49ers had a couple guys that had speed off the edge that could get to the quarterback. So I think Jimmy Garoppolo, healthy, and maybe you add some more bullets. You have a whole offseason, but that big thing is pass rusher. And I think that – I don't think you can overestimate how much of a difference that would make. So from that aspect, I kind of agree with John Lynch, but – they got to nail it. You know, they got to get the right guys, and they got to get the impact players in that will make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think that the offense is going to be a lot better with McKinnon coming back, or not coming back, but taking more than preseason snaps. And I think Jimmy's obviously just going to provide that stability that we need for long-term success. But I don't think that the offense is going to be the issue. We're putting up good offensive numbers with not great offensive pieces. And I feel like just a little bit more stability is definitely going to be what we need there. But the defense just looks sloppy. Just one of the most, it's frustrating to watch, because I feel like we could be a lot better, but at the same time, we're just missing out on some big key pieces.
So it sounds like you were kind of even not convinced that John Lynch is the right guy to be the GM.
So it's one of those things where, listening to the podcast, he's one of the most likable people in the world. I love listening to his interviews. He's smart. He knows what he's talking about. But maybe the nice GM isn't necessarily what we need. I'd much rather see him be aggressive, going after the big free agents. I know that we've lost out on everyone from Mac to a lot of talk around Allen Robinson during his free agency. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where I feel like we've heard we put up our offers and just came short too many times to be happy with, almost.
One thing I will say about John Lynch, you talk about it's easy to listen to him, and for me it's the honesty. Both John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, I've really respect their honesty, and maybe this is one time when John Lynch shouldn't be honest, is talking about how many times he's come up short, because I don't think that helps his cause.
And it's, if we are coming up short, are we putting up enough? And I know that, especially with the Oakland thing, the idea that we put up as much as Chicago did, but they went with their non-crosstown rivals on that one, which would make sense. But at the same time, if we're putting up a better offer, I feel like they'd take it, but you never really know on all of that.
Yeah, and I think that's mostly him covering his ass, but probably doing more damage, just being like, yeah, we put up a good offer, but yeah, you didn't get him. So that's why, and I think he's a newer GM, he's a newer executive, so maybe he's learning some lessons that old crusty GMs already know, is just like, don't talk about that crap. And most guys don't. And so it's refreshing, but then I think he's leaving himself open for a little second guessing.
And especially with an area as big as the Bay Area that has had recent success in at least baseball and basketball and hockey, I guess. A lot of passionate fans and a lot of people who will jump to conclusions about this and just want to see a successful team.
Absolutely. So what's the reasonable expectation going forward then?
You know, it's one of those things where, like I said, I feel like in this time next year, we could be over that hump of winning those narrow games. But, and I'm definitely interested in your opinion, do you think we are a playoff? Do you think that we're going to be able to be a playoff ready team in the next couple of years? Like, do you think that our core is strong enough to be competent and hanging?
I think they have to get the right pieces. There needs to be that impact pass rusher. If that doesn't happen, mm-hmm. then I don't know if they can take the next step. But I think if you played like this bizarre, speaking of movies, remember in Back to the Future where Doc is on the chalkboard and he draws a line and he talks mm-hmm. about how Marty just went into an alternate 1985? And he draws the skewed line. I think there could be an alternate 2018. Like, let's say if that Khalil Mack trade would have happened. That was before Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt. And I fully believe in, like, the butterfly effect. Like, if Jimmy Garoppolo would have just been in a different down and distance, a different play, and the knee thing was just that one play, unless his ACL was already at a thread, right, then that injury would have never happened. So what would the 49ers look like? Would they look like what the Chicago Bears look like right now? Would would all the defensive backs look so much better because of the impact Khalil Mack made, and you would still have a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo for the season? Would they have figured things out earlier in the year and gotten over the hump and won all of these close games and now be sitting at least just a little bit over 500 or maybe have a really nice record and looking at a playoff run? That's the question I have. And I think it's not insane to think that that's where they would be looking at least a team that's on the verge of a playoff run.
No, definitely. But, and I guess just like talking about our expectations for the future, that idea of, I feel like right now and across all sports, there's that mentality of championship or bust, win their Super Bowl or rebuild, go back home and try everything out again. And I'm just wondering if being a team that has a winning record would be first time in quite a while and be quite happy with that. But would that be good enough for fans? Is that something that we can ultimately sustain in the long run?
I don't think people would be like super upset if the team had really been in a lot of games, been competitive every week, and would only be like at 500 or, you know, 5-5 right now. Like I think people would be not upset, but maybe be a little bit nervous about things. And they're not that far from that. And that's why I think that John Lynch may be onto something. They might be just a few players away, but it's got to be the right players and they got to be impact guys.
Yeah, I feel like we saw last year with Jimmy coming in, just turning everything up. Everyone's firing on all cylinders. I feel like a great defensive player could totally do that for our defense and push us over that edge and become what we all want us to be.
Right. And this year is sort of a reminder that they are a little bit they're not as far along in the rebuild, and they completely gutted the roster 2 years ago. So they almost started from scratch. So it's a reminder of that, too, to just hold your horses. Let's let it play out. And so Lynch and Shanahan are going to have a little bit more time. And next time or next year at this time, we'll check back in and see where they're at. And they better be over 500.
No, definitely. It's one of those things where I'll take a winning record at this point. Just let's get back to where we need to be.
I totally agree. Jack, we are out of time here. Thank you so much for joining me, show. It was fun talking movies and kind of changing up the format here and changing up the theme of this episode. Nice holiday edition, so I appreciate that. And I do want to hear the top fives from people out there. Hit me up on Twitter. What's your top five sports movies of all time? I definitely want to hear that from you guys. So, Jack, thank you so much for joining the show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, and tell everybody where they can find your movie reviews.
Yeah, so the best place is going to be onto YouTube and search Jack's Movie Reviews. It'll be the first thing that shows up. I'm doing a video every 2 weeks, but I'm doing a few formatting changes, and we'll be hopefully just more content from there on out, and looking forward to making the videos the best that they can be.
Beautiful. Thanks, Jack.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Brian.
All right, that's going to do it for this special holiday episode of Locked On 49ers. My guest tomorrow, yes, I'm going to keep it going. We're going to have a Friday episode here for the holiday weekend for you folks that are driving maybe out of town to visit family. And I hope you're nice and full now. And I hope you listen to Friday's episode. It's going to be a good one. And it's going to be one that you can listen to for a while, because I'm going to talk a lot of NFL draft stuff. And just like we talked a little bit this episode, we're going to talk about specifics. We're going to talk about players that the 49ers might be looking at in the 2018 draft with Trevor Sikkema of the Draft Network, and he's also a Buccaneers guy, so we're going to talk Bucs and 49ers as well with Trevor Sikkema on Friday's episode right here on Locked On 49ers.